I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm just excited to experience something new, something different. We have a chance to do something special, and Josh texted me that, you know, that if we do what we set out to do, we could really be immortalized in this town. And, you know, that's what it's all about, is winning a championship. And that's, I think, why people are here.
Joey Bosa. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Rainy Friday. At least it's a Friday. Bosa there. We had our first caller this morning say his name when I asked, who's the second most important bill this season? Your Buffalo Bills, stars of the NFL in a number of ways, Hard Knocks, holiday touchdown movie. Or maybe I should get a better title for that, right? What's it going to be called? Is it Holiday Touchdown again? That's what the Chiefs one was called. Anyway, not important.
I think that's like the series, and then there's like
the franchise? Yeah, the Holiday Touchdown franchise.
And then you add on a thing for the specific team, maybe?
Will they go to all 32 teams?
A Browns
love story, a Saints love story. Will they get to all 32, or will they double back?
It's a Holiday Touchdown, a Bills love story.
And the Chiefs one was called Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story.
I think it was.
All right,
so I watched it. It was. It was. I hope that the Bills one I think it will, but it has as much Bills like nostalgia and things in it as the Chiefs one did. Because it'll be a nice trip down memory lane for a lot of people.
How many Chiefs that you recognize were in it?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire was in it.
Okay.
I remember that because it was, you know, the movie came out and then like a week later he got cut. Andy Reid was in it. And other than that, it was like a couple offensive linemen and like some backup linebackers, I think. But
okay. The Bills appear to be pretty well represented in this.
Yeah, Sal rattled off some names yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Sales down there for the shoot. So anyway, that's what we talked about. We opened up with, who's the second most important bill for this year? First answer came in was Joey Bosa. You can give us a ring, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. A quick update on the rivalries uniforms. So this new thing that's coming out this year, there's going to be uniforms that the Bills are going to get a new uniform set. It's going to be part of the Rivalries program that the NFL and Nike have launched. Each team designs a new uniform for a game for games against division rivals. Maybe you've heard the start of this. Well, we got our first small indicator of what's happening with another team. Okay, so this team is not in the rivalry program, but they're doing a uniform for a rivalry. So the NFL announced, this is a statement from somebody, Cal and Hannah McNair of the Texans. I know the NFL announced a rivalry uniform. We get to do ours in 2026 against the division rival. So there you go. The Bills are doing it this year. The Texans will be part of 2026's rivalries uniform. And each of these sets will last for 3 years. So I suppose in 3-4 years, you'll have most teams with another set that they wear against their division rivals. So she says they're working on the uniforms. That Houston is working on these uniforms, which don't come out this coming season, but the next season. And they've given a clue. They look really good. We're excited. So here are the Texans. I feel like we're doing the stadium fly-through. This team doesn't even have a uniform until next year. And they're talking about how they've seen them. We got to get these Bills uniforms as soon as possible. But what is going to be the characteristic of this? You know, they look good. They're not finished. We're working on them. These are the quotes in this article. But the operative phrase that they're using for the Texans are using is certain colors. When it comes to certain colors, we will have certain colors. That's the quote that people are kind of latching onto. And that is that the Texans will wear like their Oilers colors uniforms. So whether that's the Texans logo in Oilers colors, it's a lighter blue, right?
That would make people mad, I feel like. Like, I feel like people would get really mad at
it's
that.
It's a good question. You say that, and then yet the Sabres had a jersey of the goat head in blue and gold. And that looks kind of cool. Like, I think it's
yeah.
Now that's a reverse. Like, that's a reverse retro.
I feel like that's different though. Like people were so mad when the Oilers left, and then you know everything with the Titans and all that history there. Like,
yeah,
I feel like there's it's like animosity towards that. Maybe.
I mean, they wore them in a game. Didn't they wear them kind of recently? Didn't they wear them against the Titans? Maybe. Anyway, the Houston college team wore these colors. And again, you might be mad at the guy that took the team out of Houston. Are you mad at the colors? Are you might be nostalgic for the colors. That those colors belong to Houston. Yeah, here's a picture. The Titans used the Oilers uniforms against the Texans. The Titans used the Oilers. Yeah, I got that right. Titans used the Oilers uniforms against the Texans. So anyway, this Bills rivalry series, we are not that far away from getting a new set of uniforms from the Bills. And I, for one, cannot wait for this. So I wanted to bring that story up just because, you know, here you go. It's here's a team a year out, and they have a pretty good idea of what they're going to wear. And it might just be Texans jerseys in Oilers colors because they're going to implement those colors. 803-0550. Marty in West Seneca is up next this morning. Hey, Marty.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Marty. What's
up? You guys are talking about offensive, defensive players that make a difference.
Yeah, the most important player that's not Josh Allen, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going cornerback in general.
All right.
They get beat up on the outside. And Maxwell Harrison ain't the answer because he can't tackle.
All right.
He can't support the run. He can't do nothing. You need a, you know, well, Bernard or whatever you want to pronounce it.
Sure, Terrell Bernard is.
When he was hurt, guess what happened?
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It went down the chute, you know?
Meh. Okay, yeah. Marty.
This cornerback, I don't know what you do with that, you know?
Yeah, thanks, Marty. They've got, you know, Tre'Davious White is in the mix there. Harrison, I don't know. I'm going to come into this Bills offseason, this training camp, kind of believing quite a bit in Harrison. You know, do you want your corners to be the best they can be in run support? Yes. But there are plenty of really, really good ones that aren't the best. And with Harrison, I guess the scouting report on him when they drafted him was he's willing. So coach him up, teach him a little bit better technique. The size, you know, maybe they had some size there, maybe not. But my favorite thing I read about Harrison during the draft process was how he'll win with it. He wants to win with his feet. And, you know, Kyer Elam, who we just heard from yesterday in Dallas, saying it's nice to be a part of something like this. The energy here is like nothing he's ever felt before. Like, all right, good luck, Kyer Elam. It never worked with Elam from pretty much his first training camp. Training camp one, there were kind of red flags. Like, he's too grabby, and they think he's so grabby that they're going to put gloves on him so he can't grab the uniform. And with Harrison, he's a different player. Like, he's not going to grab. He's going to win with his feet and win with positioning and have closing speed and makeup speed. So, you know, if there is a fatal flaw in the way that he won't tackle, then there might be packages where the Bills are gearing up to protect against that. Or, I don't know. He's willing. The story is he's willing. We'll find out. He would not be the first corner in league history that is willing but maybe not able. 803-0550. Benford, of course, is super important. Benford is one of their top three most important players. I think consensus top five behind Allen, and then you could put Benford too. He's been a very, very good corner for them since pretty much, again, since he showed up. I wonder what percentage of these players you could say from seven games in, you've known what they are, who they are, what they are. Because some guys do experience a slow ramp up into growth, and others are just ready to go. 803-0550. To join us. Thanks for the phone call, Marty. 1-888-550-2550. So, Owen, you had a stat of the day for me? I was going to wait till the next segment, but we got a little time here. So, you had a stat of the day?
Yeah, I got a little Stuart Skinner information here. Okay. This is it,
is it better than yesterday's stat that his save percentage in the playoffs has either been .834 or below or a complete shutout, 1,000?
It was that. That okay. was my idea. Like, I was just the Jekyll and Hyde of being either below .830 to a shutout.
Yeah.
Is an exemplary sort of sneak peek into the world of goalies.
Okay.
Like, there's just such a high and low to every single guy. We see it with UPL this year. Stuart Skinner is the microcosm, these six games. And it's, you see the ebbs and flows, and you see the back-to-back shutouts. It all comes up, and then dive bombs.
Yep.
And it I just thought it was such an interesting way to look at and show how hard it is to have consistent goaltending in this league now with the way it is in this era. And it only continues to get worse, I find, with those guys like, you know, Vasilevsky, Hellebuck, Shesterkin are probably the three guys that you could rely on every year, right?
Yep.
There's not really anybody else. Who else is out there that's that level of guy?
Right.
And it just, I don't think it gets talked about enough. It's such an important part of building a solid team that I think general managers as a whole undervalue. And you see that in contracts and you see that in drafting. Drafting is a little more understandable because of how difficult it is to project them. But I just found how just stunning, like jarring the difference between the top, you know, Connor McDavid. What's Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews making versus Hellebuck makes like eight. And he's the best guy every year. And I just find that to be such an undervalue. I find it to be like running back in a lot of ways.
Yeah, right, where the best are the best and worth it. And then once you get off that top tier. So Skinner's save percentage by game this postseason in order.
Yeah.
800. 822, 833, shutout, 815.
Right. And in between the 833 and the first shutout were Calvin Pickard games.
Right.
Like,
and I guess you shouldn't be surprised. If you're an Oilers fan or you're a hockey fan like watching the series, you should not be surprised. His save percentage by month, April was 873. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, April was 972. March was 873. February was 867. January 921. December 913, November 898, October 872. Like multiple long stretches sub 900 for Skinner. You know, one other thing about these playoffs, I mean, I'm mad at myself for not just laying the house, everything you own, on Florida beating Carolina.
Oh.
This was supposed to be in a regular NHL format, or rather a regular playoff format. This is a first round matchup. Florida Carolina is the 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
And why are they here in this matchup, in this spot? Because of the NHL's artificial thing where they have the league's best division, which the one the Sabres are in, I think it's consistently been the best in terms of having four awesome teams. What happened? The same thing that always happens. The Leafs beat a good team. And then, the Leafs were the one. Florida beats Tampa in the first round. That is the two and the three. In this side of the bracket, if you did like 1, 2, 3, 4, the two and the three, and then Florida beats Toronto, who's the one, so this is the worst team they've played yet,
right?
Carolina by
and it
far
looks that way.
It's by far the worst team they've played yet. It's just kind of it's wild to me that we had the NFL playoff format discussed for a couple days this week, and they did not vote on it. You have three leagues that have a playoff format that is just kind of goofy and does not accurately put together a bracket where the seeds are appropriate. Three leagues at the same time. The only league that changed it was college football, and they did it after 1 year. 1 year of their format, and they thought, not okay, straight 1 through 12.
Right. I find that speed of a decision-making from college football so admirable. Like, I wish that the other leagues were self-aware enough to realize – we can make our product in the playoffs, which should be your bread and butter, this much better.
Right, we can get just better teams.
Right. Better games, better series.
Better teams along later.
Everything.
Yep. Looking at just like the league standings, the whole league, Toronto was the fourth best team in the playoffs. Florida is the 11th best team in the playoffs. Carolina's 10th. So if you're Florida, your road to get to this point was to beat number overall NHL seed, number 7, then number 4, and now you're playing number 10.
Right.
And it's just, it gets easier as the playoffs go along, and that's not supposed to happen.
Right, and the games always get, like, as the NHL playoffs go, the games get worse and worse. The first round's always the best because guys just get worn down.
Yeah.
And so you see that happen, and then you get teams that are probably not matched up that well in these late rounds, and the hockey's just not as good. It's really frustrating.
803-0550 to join us, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe. Joe's out today. He's on vacation. It's a Friday. It's raining. Join us. Who's the second most important bill, in your opinion? We all know who number one is. You think there's a good answer on number two? We've heard Joey Bosa and the cornerbacks. So give us a ring, 803-0550 here on WGR.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.